Pleasure for this privilege that he has blessed us with and this opportunity to hear what we have heard this morning. I am very much overwhelmed by the manifest presence of the Lord during these meetings this morning and on into this afternoon. I have a definition that I carry around with me. Some of you may have heard me read this before, but I think it's ever appropriate to read it once again. It's the definition of the word privilege. This is written from and copied from a Webster's 1828 dictionary. Our language in this country has undergone great changes, just as our so-called religious world has. But without question today, as Webster describes a privilege, I believe we have had the privilege to meet and assemble ourselves and to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. A privilege is a particular and peculiar benefit or advantage enjoyed by a person, company, or society beyond the common advantages of other citizens. A privilege may be a particular right granted by law or held by custom, or it may be an exemption from some other burden to which others are subject to. I feel that without question, this morning, even into this afternoon, that we as a peculiar and a particular people, called out from the things of this world, have been privileged to sit where we sit this morning and then this afternoon. And in this definition, I hope that as you have heard this mentioned, that it's a peculiar benefit. And with that thought of something that is peculiar, you know, the world looks at that as strange. But when I think upon this particular and peculiar benefit or advantage that are enjoyed by God's people, personal, and as a company, as we're gathered here this afternoon, my mind is drawn to 1 Peter in the second chapter, where he describes very plainly a particular and a peculiar people. In the 9th verse of this second chapter, we're told, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people." A purchased people that sit here today enjoying a benefit that is not common to this world. If what we were enjoying right now at this moment was common to this world, this meeting house would just be overflowing with people. They would be standing outside of these windows to hear God's word. And we have heard today, as we've said here, experiences of God's children. But these experiences that we have enjoyed are because they're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a purchased people through that bloodshed upon the cross, that we may come to understand and greatly enjoy this privilege that we do this afternoon. And it tells us in this 9th verse that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Without question, I feel that we have been abundantly blessed in that benefit that we have heard from a privileged people who have come to know God's word, come to know his grace, a peculiar people, to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so beautifully Peter finishes this statement in the 11th verse, in the 10th verse, where he tells us which in times past were not a people. Now if you want to think about this privilege that we've been blessed with today, think about it beginning there, that we were not a people. That we were not a people. We thought we had something, we thought we held something in this life as we heard, but we heard the evidences of a peculiar person that stood here, a person that we heard through Elder Draper, Elder Tim McGrady, Elder Bowman, and the other elders that have come before, speaking of a work that had been done in them, a peculiar work, a purchased work through that bloodshed upon that cross. And I look at that 10th verse and think within my mind, which in times past were not a people, meditate upon that today. in this privilege you've had to come and sit and look within God's Word and hear God's Word of truth preached unto you. The verse that I woke up with upon my mind this morning is found in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. I'd like to begin with the 8th verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Without question today, we have seen evidence of a particular privilege, of a peculiar privilege, of a privilege that's enjoyed by people that's not a common benefit to the rest of this world. We are enjoying right now, as Webster puts it, an exemption by burdens that the world's subject to right at this very minute through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have enjoyed without question God's Word today. We have seen without question the evidence of these precious truths wrought effectually before us through this privilege that we've been blessed with. This 11th verse of this 55th chapter tells us, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. There is no question within my mind that this morning and this afternoon, we are not a people that are empty. We are a people that have been blessed beyond our imagination. I look across this congregation today and I see very young, and we've heard some ages mentioned here today, but we've met for one purpose. As we heard from the very beginning of these meetings, as Elder Nichols mentioned, that we are here for the reason that his word returned not unto him void. That when Christ came and was born in the flesh, and as that angel spoke to Joseph and told him, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Without question, there was that word, and the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and that light was the light of men, and that light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Now there's that word darkness again that Peter mentions, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people. Elder Bowman mentioned that in his remarks earlier in his sermon of that darkness of a people who understood not what a privilege at that time that they were blessed with. And I trust that we as God's children, and as we think back upon the remarks that were made of this meeting house, of being here over 250 years, I trust that what will rest upon your mind is it was the privilege and understanding of a peculiar people that brought this benefit and established it here in the United States, that it was a word that returned not void, that there is substance and life within this glorious gospel in such form and fashion that we should be literally overcome by it. And I sat back there as I heard Elder Draper and the other elders that have come before me, because the thought that was on my mind this morning when I rose from the bed was thanking the Lord for a peaceful night's sleep. And I wondered upon my mind, if called upon, what might be upon my mind this day. His word, not my thoughts. His glorious gospel, not my interpretation. The understanding that we're blessed to know through the truth, which is Jesus Christ, that truth that was established here, but it was a truth that was established before the foundation of this world. Because we understand that in the beginning was God, and that Word was with God there. You know, I thought too upon that simple little word, in. Not too long ago, I had that upon my mind. Such a small little word. But when we think upon God's Word and it returning not unto Him void, when we think of 1 John, it tells us in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, in that one little word is the primary preposition denoting a fixed place in time, place, or state. Now, think upon that little word. It's denoting a fixed place in time. You might, if you have a Strong's Concordance and we think upon the Lord, and I so much of God's Word we take for granted. You look upon the word Lord in that concordance and you'll find that the definition means self-existing. From everlasting to everlasting. Self-existing. And in His rich blessings, He has blessed us with His Word, understanding that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof. So when I'm before you and make a mistake, I can be corrected. But am I corrected by the loving kindness of a brother? Oftentimes I am. But what is our only rule of faith and practice? His precious Word. Not my thoughts, not my ideas, because I'm told in this, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. That there's going to be some evidence of this work that's done within a child of God's heart. That effectual call that lifts us up, that burns within us, not the distance that we might have had to travel today, but the prayer in our heart that we might sit and feast with our brothers and sisters once again upon His precious Word of truth, that we might gain some insight and better understanding to this rich Word. That we may be literally overwhelmed that He would see fit to call a people out of darkness, which were not a people. That word darkness, I often use this as an example. I have an old motorcycle I like to ride. It's an old 1938 bike. I'm one of those real rough guys you see out here. I go get an ice cream sandwich on Sunday afternoon. But I went out to a little place out here off the parkway one Sunday afternoon. Had a black t-shirt on. It was kind of cool. It was long sleeve. Black is a very unusual color. Because black's void of color is what black is. I went in there after that ice cream sandwich and I had made a mess to wash my hands, and it's at Mabry Mill up there. I'm sure some of you are familiar with that, and they've got the new sinks in there where you just stick your hand under there and the water will come on. Well, I went in there and I stuck my hands under the sink and the water didn't come on. And I thought, well, maybe that one was broken. So I walked to the next one. I stuck my hands under there and the water didn't come on. That infrared light was shining on that black t-shirt that was void of color and unable to reflect that light back. And when I pulled it up and stuck my hands back under there, the water came on. We, as depraved human beings without the grace of God within our hearts, are that blackness, unable to reflect any light, any substance of light. We're told in the 5th chapter of Matthew, as Christ is speaking to His disciples there, let your light so shine that man may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Those works that He's speaking of being glorified is that word of grace that's been wrought within their heart, shown forth, that light that we've heard about earlier today that's not hidden under that bushel basket. But in our depraved nature as human beings, we are literally incapable of reflecting anything back. In our sinful nature, we have one sole purpose, and that's to absorb everything that's around us, to take it all in, and we literally give nothing back. We, as we are assembled here this afternoon, are showing forth evidence of a privileged people, a peculiar people, a purchased people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people. But Peter goes on to say, but now are the people of God. That is who we are. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in a promise of a word that went forth before the foundation of this world, and it returned not void. Christ says in that precious sixth chapter of John, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He was saying that all that he gave him, they're going to be with him. That he returned to the Father not void of his purpose that he came in this world to fulfill. And I wonder within my mind, as we've heard things mentioned about this world about us, I trust that our thoughts will be wholly and solely on being a privileged people, because it's that truth that sustains us. It's that truth of Christ and an understanding of his precious word that has upheld this meeting house here for all these years. And you young people that are here, you know, I often like to take a moment to talk to you. I hope that you understand that where you sit today, that you keep in mind that your parents brought you here not because, and how do I say this in the right words? They brought you here to honor God the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is why you're here. And I hope that your hearts will be so impressed to understand that historically, even though they tell you this building's been here 250 years, this truth has been here from everlasting to everlasting. This is a history lesson you're not going to get out in the world because, you know, they don't want to give it. I watched a program one night this week, something that I was interested in. These scientists were on there and they were mentioning the Big Bang Theory. I wish I'd have taped it. Because everyone that they had on there said that the Big Bang Theory is covered up with flaws. Well, a child of God knows that. There's no question. But you children need to be aware of what you hear and how you hear it. And the Scripture tells you that. If you got a question, you go to your mother, you go to your father, you come to the elder. But this is our only rule of faith and practice, his word. And it's not going to return void. That means there's going to be an answer in here. Maybe not the one we want, maybe not the one you want. But there's going to be an answer. And if God will grant you the patience, it'll be the greatest answer to that question you'll ever have. But as I mentioned about that television show, they made a statement in there that really got my attention, and maybe some of you kids can think about this one for a while. We know that without question, the very first book of the Bible tells us, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. He had not created the sun yet. But he said and spoke with his word that returns not void, let there be light, and there was light. And in this program, these scientists, as they're breaking down different molecular structures and having machinery that will enable to do that and let them go smaller and smaller and smaller, they've come across a thing they call a string. Well, they say in this string is light. No sun, keep in mind. You know what that just did? It showed me, first of all, the depravity of man. Man's inability to acknowledge God for his work that he's done. But you, where you sit today, are sitting as a privileged and peculiar group of people that are enjoying a benefit that your peers aren't enjoying right now. And I'd like to close with these thoughts. A few more verses found in the 89th Psalm. I'd like to begin with the 29th verse. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions and with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Saying that Christ, his words, come to this world. He will endure forever. His throne are as the days of heaven. And this children here that are mentioned in the 30th verse, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, he's telling them there's going to be a punishment in the here and now. That is means this temporal punishment that we're going to pay for not following his commandments. And you're going to be punished, and sometimes, as several of you can attest to, some of the worst whippings I've had have been from God. Oh, my dad gave me several, but I can tell you they didn't linger like those of the Lord. And I'm thankful that he spared not that rod, because that's a rod of correction. But he goes on, and the verse that's really upon my mind is the 33rd verse here. He says, nevertheless, my loving kindness, that word that he promised of salvation, that word that was wrought within Christ, born of a virgin, that he shall save his people from their sins, that word that returns not unto him void. And of those of you with a good study Bible, you'll find that in that 33rd verse where he says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. You'll find either in a center reference or at the bottom, I will not make void from him. That emptiness that was there before will always be filled, as he tells us, with his loving kindness. He will not utterly take it from us, though there are many times in our lives we feel so far from him, we feel it's gone. But keep in mind that Christ fulfilled every promise of the Father. Nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. You'll find in the center reference on that, to fail or to lie. I'd like to go just one last verse, and I'll close with this one. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. It is by him we have received this word, this precious word of truth. And my prayer is that if we've been blessed as a privileged and peculiar people to enjoy a benefit that's not common to this world, of a God that cannot lie, of promises that were founded before the foundation of this world, that it would uplift our heart in such form and fashion that we would show forth the praises to him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. May God's grace continue to richly bless each and every one of you here today, as well as this meeting house and sister meeting houses across the land.